So welcome, everyone, to our overview and introduction to Writing Beyond. This is our program that's entering its fourth year for breast cancer survivors and thrivers. We have experienced enthusiasm and reports of life-changing experiences from over 50 women who have gone through our program in both individual and group sessions. And there have actually been more participants than that who were not breast cancer drivers or survivors, because our group sessions are open to the public. But because breast cancer is at epidemic proportions, we hope that you will find ways to serve this population, be inspired and informed by what we have learned these past few years. You may wish to expand your audience to other cancer survivors, and we encourage you to adapt the program as may fit your own resources. For instance, Linda Eppo in Colorado is bringing in an art therapist with her program. So we will be presenting today the principles and practices, and then starting next week, we will go into much more depth about the practices and what is needed for a successful program. The next 4 weeks of teleconferences on Thursdays and Mondays will be recorded for those who sign up but who are not able to attend, as is this one today. So all told, the teleseminar starting next week will give you 10 hours of professional CEUs, and we'll give you some more details about that later and about the discount that you'll get if you sign up in the next 2 days. So I am Trish Brosmer. I have been in the field of therapeutic writing for about 30 years. I was initially practicing pretty much standard therapeutic writing with people with disabilities, but 20 years ago began working with at-risk teens and other people who were in transition, and developed what I call a human development program, and it has evolved into Writing Beyond. As most recently, I'm past president of ESMA, and I'm certified as a therapeutic writing instructor and an equine specialist and a mentor, and I'm on the faculty of the equine specialist certification workshop. And so with me today is my friend Jen, who was one of the people who, when I came home from Prescott, Arizona, I said, gee, I'm thinking maybe Mystic might be a good candidate for this program that I just heard about. And she was one of the first people who helped me test out Mystic and has helped develop the program all along. Jen is a lifelong horse person who showed in the hunter-jumper world in high school and helped set up an equestrian team in a college, and then moved to Alaska, where she lived for a number of years and was, as you'll see, she's got the personality that enabled her to live up there for 15 years. and three of those years she was a guide in Denali Park. So now she's not only helping here with Writing Beyond, but she's done some wonderful work with summer camps and other experiences for young children. She's especially interested in creative work. Is there anything else you want to say, Jen, about your background?
Yeah, that's a great introduction.
Hi. Sure.
Hi. That's a great introduction, Trish. Thanks so much. Yes, you have to be kind of a sturdy stock to spend 15 years in the interior of Alaska. But it has, like a lot of life choices, focused me in my direction and given me a place to leap off from. So I'm really excited here to spend the time with you and everyone else that's joining us today on the call, and those that will be joining us later through the recording. It's really a pleasure and an honor to be able to share the parts of my journey with horse as my life has unfolded, and the experiences that I've been able to glean from the part I've been helping to implement this transformative program that we call Writing Beyond. A lot of the things that I'll be sharing will be because of the people who I've been in contact because of this program, volunteers, participants, and we've mostly bonded through our hearts and that makes us especially warm and happy to know one another. And I'm also going to be trying to share and discuss some of the horse wisdom that the horses have generously provided me and have waited patiently time and time again for me to really get the learning. So thanks for introducing me and giving me the opportunity to share. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. And I want to also mention that Jen has been in the coaching program, training program with Equine Alchemy for the past year, and she brings her studies there to this work as well. I want to mention again that Facebook page called Writing Beyond Professionals is available to all of us on this call to place comments and questions that Jen and I will do make every effort to answer, called Hearing the Called In Later. And it will also be a place for us to refer to some of the models that we will be talking about here shortly. So I want to begin with some favorite words of mine by Howard Thurman. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. So the kernel of Writing Beyond sparked my imagination a few years ago when I attended a presentation by Catherine Hand in Arizona. I was looking for something to offer my community here in the Rogue Valley, because much of my work was elsewhere, teaching elsewhere. And there was something about the program that Catherine had instituted that I felt was just right for what I could offer folks here. I wasn't sure if my horse Mystic was the right one, but I was willing to give it a try. And so it's evolved into something quite extraordinary and certainly makes me come alive. So looking at the need that we are responding to here, you know, I personally have accompanied two close friends through stage 4 breast cancer treatment in the past 10, 15 years. And so I came to this with some personal experience of what happens to women with this journey. But a common scenario for women emerging from breast cancer treatment is that they are faced with a multitude of issues affecting their physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. Vital functions like digestion, respiration, and heart rate are impaired, and there's more. They often avoid touching others or being touched, and they feel a need for physical and emotional revitalization. We encounter this all the time with the women that we work with. The medical profession, however, does not attend to these ensuing issues once treatment is completed. They send the women forth cancer-free, which is a great accomplishment. But in many ways, these women are similar to returning war veterans with PTSD symptoms. And that's being more and more validated in the media, that there are statistics showing that something like 65% of women coming out of breast cancer treatment have PTSD. And so like the many horse programs around the country helping returning veterans with PTSD, Writing Beyond is designed to attend to their particular needs to help women recovering from breast cancer treatment. And it's designed specifically for the needs of this audience, which are quite different to veterans. And so, Jen, you want to say a little bit about your experience with your sister?
Yeah, you know, like you, Trish, I, too, have accompanied family members and friends through the journey of breast cancer and other types of cancer treatments. When I moved here from the interior of Alaska, I finally got to the outside world, and it was not many weeks after that we found that my sister was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, you know, as I watched her gather her resources, both inner and outer, to face every challenge that would be presented to her through surgery and treatment and all those kind of things, she really proved to be a model of courage, and she walked with grace and dignity. She was very grateful to all the folks that were in the industry that were helping her along the way. She had great humor, and it was basically she would be kind of the person that would come in and kind of raise the spirits in any of the rooms or the doctor's offices where we would take that year that she took to, you know, basically beat cancer. So, you know, she came through that whole year of that being her job, you know, beating cancer. And I'm really, really grateful that many years later I can say that she did do that, and she's gone back to a life with holistic health. But it wasn't until a kind of unexpected and defining moment that occurred. It was after all the treatments were done, and we were kind of winding down with things. She looked at me and she said, "You know what? Now I'm really scared." I thought, "Wow, that's interesting." And it was that moment that she was talking about. You know, she was being released from the medical profession and given this kind of go forth bill of health, and her life was still there, all those wonderful parts, but who she had become wasn't the same. There was nothing really that was the same for her. And so kind of in that moment of transitioning back from this crisis of fighting cancer, she had a need, and she was really scared, and I didn't know how to help. And it was just an overwhelming moment and time for her. So I remembered that moment when you came home so excited and wanted to know whether or not I would, of course, turn around and lie down backwards on the back of Mystic's back, which, of course, I said I would. But that moment came to my heart, and I thought, you know what, I can offer this. I heard the call, and when you offered a direction, I thought Riding Beyond is something that I could be part of and something that I could really make a difference.
Yeah.
So that journey unfolded for me, and it's brought me to this exact moment when we're able to join again into a larger group of folks that are out there getting ready to do good. And I'm so glad that we'll be able to reach out and have the possibility to go forward and offer something that people can take into the world. So maybe you could let us know a little bit about that.
Right. So let me just start with a big picture from which I come to this work, and we all do, because I believe that women who face breast cancer are frontline ambassadors of the rise of the unique qualities of the feminine soul for nurturing life and finding life-giving solutions to problems instead of warfare and other options of violence. They have the potential to be those who pioneer a new way, having gone through the fire, this fire of breast cancer that hones their purpose to laser clarity. To have breast cancer is intrinsically characterized by what it takes to overcome enormous challenges, to gather resources, to separate one's identity as a person from the disease, to find out who she is as a strong and creative being. Breast cancer strikes at her most intimate sense of self and personal identity. So Riding Beyond is designed to offer resourcing experiences with a horse as a large-hearted, powerful, and beautiful companion. The experiences there restore her core self as creative and strong, keeping her in touch with regenerative sources of her creativity and her strength so that she can claim her own personal possibilities for her larger destiny, which has sometimes become eclipsed with this experience. These women, these survivors, these thrivers are, in my mind, critical to the unfolding of something new and life-sustaining for our world's long-term future. A few weeks ago, I was privileged to attend a all-day conference on the state of breast cancer issues that was sponsored by the Susan G. Komen Foundation and broadcast here out of Portland, where it was being held. It was a wonderful overview of new approaches from medical research for treatment. There was a presentation on nutrition and acupuncture and physical therapy. Four women spoke to the new normal, how to take better care of yourself after breast cancer, what it means to have intimate relationships, the new challenges, and how to live with the threat of returning cancer and learning to wait before panicking at some minor sense of ill being, ill health. So at Writing Beyond, I realized that day, by the end of the day, that we are truly looking at an overlooked factor. There were actually two women at that conference presenting who demonstrated what they were overlooking, but they didn't talk about it. Annie Parker was a woman who has actually had a movie made about her because in 1965, her mother, when she was a teenager, her mother just dropped dead suddenly of breast cancer that they did not even know she had, that had affected her heart. And she became a ambassador for the possibility of cancer being hereditary. And then she's had a movie made about her and written a book about it. And then there was a nurse navigator here from, actually she was an ER emergency room nurse from our local hospital who in her early 30s, had breast cancer. Or maybe it was actually in her late 20s. Now she's in her mid-30s. And she recognized being on the other side of the table, so to speak, and being told that she had breast cancer. She realized that all the materials that they had in their offices for women were extremely inappropriate. They were, and so she made it her mission to create a wonderful book that shows the various treatment options that women have available to them. And she does it with beautiful full-page pictures of the women in all their beauty. They're, like, nude from the waist up, and it's an extraordinary book. And so these two women had taken this experience and allowed it to alchemize them, you might say. They had found that inner and outer resources for opening new doors to their future through this experience. And they found a laser clarity for something new that they needed to do with their lives, with a positive sense of their own destiny. And so at first I was kind of amazed that this national conference didn't really attend to what we were doing with Writing Beyond. And yet, the more I looked into it, I realized that this is the calling that we have to step into this gap. And actually, as a result of that, the hospital here is actually sponsoring a conference in October where I'll be one of several speakers specifically talking to this issue. I'm going to read a passage from a book I've just been reading lately. Laura Ann Walton has written a book called God is a Lion. She is discussing the childhood abject poverty of a man who now leads transformational experiences with lions at Harness Wildlife Reserve in Namibia. Following a long career that he had administering the national education system there. But Laura Ann parallels her own difficult childhood as the oldest of eight children with a mentally ill mother and her 30 years as a nun, including having breast cancer 11 years ago. But she left being a nun when she, get this, she realized that the lion was more important to her than Jesus Christ. And so she left after 30 years. She left the church in that form and has been pursuing the lions and actually went to visit real lions in Namibia for the first time about 5 or 6 years ago. So here's what she says that I think is pertinent to what we're doing here. This man's name is Fricky, she's. In many parts of the book, she's paralleling their lives, their stories, that is. So she says, I think that Fricky has never been ashamed of being poor or spending long hours doing the grungiest jobs entailed in farm work. Instead, he credits the experience of his childhood, which was very severe poverty, as making him into the man he is today, even beyond his formal education and his adult life experience. He maintains that the deprivation that he and his family endured was in reality a gift. Previously, I used the word alchemy to describe the process by which suffering provides the dark matter required for personal transformation. The key, however, is recognizing, becoming consciously aware at some point that one is or has undergone the process of being alchemized, and that the transformation could not have occurred without the dark matter. And most important is the conscious realization of gratitude for the experience. The same thing happened to me as I gradually became wise enough to realize that for all the emotional and social deprivation I experienced as the result of my mother's mental illness, the resulting gifts have been immeasurable. This kind of consciousness is qualitatively different from declaring that one has survived and or succeeded in spite of it all. Nor is it the brand of theology which holds that the more suffering we endure in the name of God, the stronger and more virtuous we become. The process I'm attempting to explain is more towards befriending and honoring the forces which have shaped and continue to shape us throughout our individual lives. I think that's a very relevant statement to the process that we're fostering with Riding Beyond and the horses. As we all know, horses have accompanied and assisted mankind for centuries. And as a result of that, they reside in our imagination as beings of beauty and power. They were cornerstones for the people of ancient Greece with stories like Chiron, the half-man, half-horse centaur, whose student, the healing goddess Asclepius, is considered the father of modern Western medicine, with a caduceus as his symbol, the intertwining snakes on medical symbology. And then there's Shadowfax, who carried Gandalf through Middle Earth. And Alexander the Great rode the inconquerable Bucephalus throughout his career and then came down through the centuries into the story of the Black Stallion. And then there's Epona, the white mare of the Celtic world, anchoring a feminine presence for soldiers across the Gallic world. And so with Riding Beyond, we enlist this imaginative aspect of the horse to become empowering companions of large-heartedness, enabling us to step boldly into the challenges we face, to honor and befriend them, to support an alchemy for their lives, as Laura Ann stated, that is possible with the dark matter of breast cancer, growing toward a conscious realization of gratitude for the experience. Now, on a more down-to-earth, immediate level, I've been very grateful for the research being done by Institute of Heart Math and other people for the effect of horses on people with PTSD, like that just being in the presence of a horse because of their large heart feel, their large-heartedness, physical large-heartedness, which manifests as a energy field that reaches out some 60 feet. And that heart rhythm, it has a coherent heart rhythm, which is characteristic of peace and joy. And so that war veterans can, just by grooming or being in the presence of horses, their heart will entrain with the heart of the horse so that they actually experience for the first time, in some cases, a state of calm and peace that they haven't known before. I really feel that this work that we are doing speaks to many of the shifts that are happening around the world. I was just attending a conference of the viewing of some of the Bioneers Conference, which is a conference out of San Francisco that's quite extraordinary each year. And they talk about the shift that's going on in our world that inspires a change of heart that honors the intrinsic value of all life and human diversity. They're moving from the capitalist masculine world, that there's this revolution from the heart of nature, is the way they talk about it. And they're talking about an age of nature dawning on us, when the prevalent story will be the story of a living universe rather than some of the stories that we've been living out of for a number of years. So they, one of their statements is, this age of nature calls for a new social contract of interdependence. Taking care of nature means taking care of people, and taking care of people means taking care of nature. And so I feel that this partnership between people and horses, for the purpose of benefiting women recovering from breast cancer, is one of many efforts in that direction, especially in the way that we'll talk about the way we do that, or the way we accomplish it. So part of what we, I want to say that the Writing Beyond program is based on the PATH International Code of Ethics, which speaks of equines as sentient beings with feelings, thoughts, emotions, and memories, and empathetic abilities. And therefore, they can be active facilitators, evoking emotions in those who work with and around them. And so that, along that line too, all the activities that we engage in with our horses must be mutually beneficial for all the people and all the horses. If it's not good for both, then it's not good for anyone. And so therefore, we don't manipulate, scare, tease, or use the horses as a tool or a prop. So before we go any further, we want to invite a few horses to join us here in our rather large-ranging circle here, people from Europe and Australia and around the world. So, Jen, would you just give us a brief grounding here and invite some of the horses in with us?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I put a call out to the horses this morning, and if you look on our Facebook page, the horse that showed up for us today is the messenger horse, the winged mythic horse, and it's probably no coincidence that as I lead you through this little centering exercise, it's got two parts, that the second part of what we'll do is really to become more cognizant of populating our imaginations with the large-hearted partners that we bring here today, the horse. So we've all come from busy lives in different places, and the first part of this exercise is to just become kind of fully present to our bodies. So everybody now, if you could just kind of relax and take a comfortable position. If you're seated, just take a deep breath in and kind of feel your seat in the chair and your feet on the floor. We could release our shoulders and allow our eyes to drop back so that our forward thinking is less engaged. We can relax our tongue and just start taking a few conscious breaths in and out to whatever length that's best for the benefit of your body right now. This way we know that becoming present, we will anchor the learning that we're receiving. So now that we've kind of become more in our bodies, let's ask our imaginations to also join us. If we think back, maybe when we were children, there may have been that childhood horse that we've probably carried with us for years as a touchstone, some horse that kind of helped raise us up. Or maybe we have a horse that is familiar to us because they're in our current herd today, a horse that we might be lucky enough to throw hay over the fence each morning. Someone that might be a trusted partner in your already existing work program with other things that you do with horses. Maybe if you don't actually own horses now, maybe you see them coming to and from your home or wherever it is that you go. So right now, I'd just like to notice how it feels. We've called in one of those large-hearted beings to our side, how it feels to be standing with this empowered horse. Notice the soft skin or maybe wind blowing through your hair and their mane. If your imagination is especially keen, you may even think of one of those winged horses like the messenger from our card. And maybe now, instead of just walking along the horse, you climb upon that horse's back and you feel the power and the energy beneath you. So we can create a deeper meaning about what our lives are meant to be. So let's just take a moment to enjoy the image that we've created. I'm always amazed when I do these imaginal kind of activities, how powerful my horses come to me and the kind of unexpected things they say with a nod or a push or a ears forward that is just perfect timing for whatever it is I'm trying to learn. So maybe now we could find out what resonates. Maybe there was a color or a feeling or a sensation. And if not now, later, you could maybe put that onto Facebook and maybe just a one-word shout-out about what the experience brought for you today. I want to thank you guys for joining me and taking time out of your busy day to include the horse as our partner on the next part of this journey. So with that, Trish,
so now,
I think we can...
Thank you. Thank you, Jen.
Yeah.
That's great. So now, with an even larger sense of who we are as a group here in our circle, with the horses joining us, let's look at more about riding beyond. We look at these considerations for the participants that they need a physical and emotional revitalization, that they have, their vital functions have been impaired. Their self-image has been impacted by surgery and treatment. They're often tactically defensive. They don't want to touch or be touched. They need to physically reconnect to her body and to others and are seeking an alternative therapy, but don't need to know how to ride a horse. They may be weakened, often weakened, with restricted range of motion, having trouble breathing, supporting her own weight. And she finds it a challenge to be moving from the treatment mode where she turned over her well-being to the medical team to finding her own sense for directing her path of well-being and trusting herself again, in part because the horse trusts her. And then she lives under the threat of recurrence of cancer for at least 5 years and maybe longer. So Riding Beyond is designed holistically to deal with the body, mind, and spirit issues of these kinds of issues. There's on the Facebook page, you'll see the four levels of the self, the model, the four levels of the self that comes from the work of Jean Houston that has guided my work for many years, that looks at the first level is the physical sensory self, and then there is the psychological historical self. And those two levels our culture is really good at. But then the next one is the mythic symbolic level. We're not as accustomed to understanding the power of that realm and its vitality in our life. And then there is the spiritual unitive level of the self. So Riding Beyond is designed to the way we do things attends to all of those levels of the self in everything we do. And we're doing that even today as we meet with you folks. As we anchor these activities, we also look very carefully at safety and professionalism, that everything has safety. And that's why this kind of work needs to be only conducted by experienced equine professionals, people who are certified as equine specialists or therapeutic riding instructors or some kind of equivalent certification. It is not for people who are new to horses. It does not mean that this training that we're offering is closed to other people, but the fundamentals of the training required for those kinds of certifications are going to be assumed in the context of our teaching and discussion. So I'm going to talk first about the elements of the Writing Beyond model, which you can see on the Facebook page. Those of you who are not able to access Facebook, I'll describe it. It has four pillars. The pillars, and then behind those pillars, there is a circle. The pillars have to do with horses. You know, what are the kinds of horses that work best for this work, and then how do we encourage those horses to become interactive co-facilitators in the work? And then the people who are involved, besides the participants, and what is going to be supportive and meaningful to them. What is the training that's important for the volunteers, the horse handlers, and everyone to be sustained in this work? So there is a kind of synergy between the horses and the people that we encourage. One of the foundations of this work is liberty training, which is the way that I personally have found most enlightening and effective for developing that willing and eager horse who wants to be a co-facilitator and is skilled at it in a safe manner. And then designing holistic activities that benefit both the horses and the people. And then how do you sustain everyone in that? So that we're creating with that, for that synergy to happen, we have to create a sacred space. And part of the elements of that sacred space are two of the other pillars, which have to do with setting up the environment in which we carry on the activities so that they are very conducive to what we want to accomplish. And then the special equipment that we use to facilitate the experiences with the horses. So that model kind of holds the framework for many of the other aspects of what we're going to present today. And so the practices that we incorporate in Writing Beyond are, first of all, resensitizing the senses through touch and sensory stimulation of the natural world. Jen, you want to tell briefly the story of the physician who came to visit us and how that so touched her?
We are always looking for ways to try to help spread the word about what the feel of this program is. It's kind of hard to explain. It's almost something that needs to be experienced. And we were able to ask one of the local physicians to come to the Little Creek Ranch, which is just where Writing Beyond is housed and is an amazing example of the natural world. And just looking around, everything in the area, our hostess provides amazing art and flowers and sustenance that she provides our group, and that, and also the fact that she has a herd that lives together that's centered around the outside of where the round pen is, where we do our work. It really gives opportunity for either the physicians or the people that come, participants, to be involved with the stimulation of the natural world and how we function in it. The particular day that we were talking about, the physician came and we had about a half hour or so that we got to spend with her. It wasn't the exact kind of program that we do at Writing Beyond, but she did have a greeting with the mystic, and things were going along really well. And at one moment, after they kind of spent some time getting to know one another, the physician just put her head on mystic's withers. And it got really quiet. There was an alignment that felt like it was happening, and we could hear the birds and feel the wind. And when she released and kind of came back from Mystic at that moment, she just burst into tears. And she wasn't really sure why she was having this unexpected but really natural release. But it was the kind of revitalization that people don't know they really need, and yet when they experience it, it's deeply powerful. And I think that
I think her words were so pertinent. She says, "I have no idea where this came from, but I can't tell you how much people in my profession need this." And that really targeted it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think our medical profession gets really concentrated on helping people in a certain way, and they don't often understand that they have a deficit within themselves. But that day, she really felt touched and seen and revitalized. And it happened so quickly and so unexpectedly in a natural way. It was a very powerful moment.
Yes, thank you, Jen. And
yeah.
So another practice that we work with is activation of the vagus nerve. The ventral portion of the vagus nerve runs along the front of the body, the midline, and has to do with autonomic nervous system issues. And often women have issues like digestion problems, shallow breathing, a heightened heart rate, other kinds of physical issues that have to do with the autonomic nervous system. And the lying down on the horse's rump and also some of the breathing exercises that we do help to activate the vagus nerve so that their autonomic nervous system can come into a more normal functioning. And Jen, let me just, I'm just going to mention, Jen, that that you have, she's posted a really interesting reference to the vagus nerve on a called the Compassionate Equestrian that's referenced there on the Facebook page. Is there anything you need to say about that, Jen?
No, it's just, it's just always interesting when, even though we see the power of the work, it's always good that people come up with research and other ways of showing that we're finding out now the greater benefits of the meditative and breathing and being around nature and horses can actually have on our physical immune systems. So that's good to see.
Yes, and so breath work is one of the key practices that we incorporate, and it's also one of the ways that we connect to the spiritual aspect of the self. Andrew Weil and many other people, as you are probably aware of, have incorporated the power of breath work. And so Jen, you have a good story about your connection with Starbucks.
One of the ways that I'm informed in this work is through a relationship with my daughter's outgrown show pony, who now lives in my backyard. And what I noticed about him is that he was really keen at noticing the things that I would notice. So it became really easy game for us to play to kind of notice his breathing. When I would notice the breathing that he was doing and change my breathing, he would change his, or I would change mine back to his. And it became just a really fun way for him and I to connect on a deeper level and start building that relationship. Also, last week at one of the Riding Beyond sessions that we were running, there was a woman who was lying prone on Mystic's back, like we were talking about, with the activating of the vagus nerve. And Trish, you were instructing her to kind of check in with her breathing, and she was doing that, and the mare was obviously enjoying the interaction. They were very relaxed together, and afterward, she said that she reported to us that while she was doing her breathing, she was practicing one of her own breath work kind of things that would give her the opportunity to pause at the end of the breath, and she said she noticed after a few breaths that Mystic was pausing as well. So what I love about those examples are that when we really notice our horses, they're really noticing what we're doing as well. And their willingness to partner with us in these kind of healing manners is quite profound.
Mm-hmm. And so alongside that is work that we do with aligning the head, heart, and gut brains. When the head, heart, and gut brains are in alignment, there is a coherence that occurs, and that's very palpable in the presence of a horse. One of our clients in the last few weeks, she was too heavy to be getting on the horse. She was but very experienced with horses, had owned some horses and hadn't been around them for a number of years. But because of that, we gave her the opportunity to do more advanced groundwork with Mystic, and so we were asking her to essentially claim territory, which is part of the liberty work that we do, and she could not she could not get Mystic to move. Mystic just continued eating. In one case, she was eating at a hay net. In another case, eating at a feed pan. But it was only when she, like, breathed into her body and, like, became fully coherent through what we were offering her that Mystic said, okay, sure. She just moved right away. And it was a huge realization for her of how she is so much more powerful when she is really aligned in her body and attending to her body. She, like many people, tends to be all verbal and kind of up in her head. And when we were able to show how the horse didn't give her the time of day, as long as she was practicing that way, and then all she had to do was to be coherent and aligned in the head, heart, and gut, that she just was, the horse easily moved away from her. So that's one of the things. And we also work very attentively to the particular aspect of the heart, the four aspects of the heart, which has to do with unconditional love and which sets aside, at least for a time, the aspects of the ego, which, the ego, which makes discernments and judgments about things, which is an important thing to have, but we want to set it aside for in the places and bring unconditional love to the fore where we can experience compassion for ourselves and for other people. And in that place, we can experience the innate harmony, the third aspect of the heart, the innate harmony in all things, in all the disparities of life, in the suffering and joy and all the opposites. And from that place, we can experience a healing presence, which emerges from either within ourselves, or that healing presence can come from without ourselves, often in this case, from the horse. So we also, another practice that we do is to develop the imaginal body, or the muscular imagination, and learning to discern and feel and respond to ourselves and others as energetic beings. You know, Jen, I think we're going to just move on here because our time is running short. Instead of talking about that, one story that you were going to share, and maybe you can share it on Facebook with folks. But we another practice that's important is that we explore the women's larger life stories, that we help them to illuminate the patterns within which they are living their day-to-day lives and to see what is some sense of their own larger journey, their own larger life story. And so we do that through heart open. First of all, we do that through telling of and sharing of stories. But we also do it through heart opening interactions with the people and the horses. And we often use music to do that, the synchronized movement to music in particular, which often helps people, all of us, to sort of surrender our boundaries. And we're all, the horse included, are all walking in time to the music. Often it catalyzes a state of euphoria and is one of the ways that we attend to the spiritual aspect of the self. And then another way that we do that is through creative writing. We have different creative writing exercises. So I want to mention a little more about Liberty Work because it's really the foundation for enabling us to have horses who are truly connecting at a heart level and who are giving intelligent and interventions and input to what we are doing. And there's a give and take, a back and forth. I work with the seven waterhole rituals of Terrell and Resnick, which are, you know, just the first ritual is just hanging out with a horse and being with a horse so that we become a member of their herd. And then another one is greeting the horse so that they they've got to be initiating that greeting just as they invite us into the herd. And then there's the third ritual is taking territory where we go towards establishing leadership. They're giving us leadership because in this kind of work, the horse is in a large space and they have choice. So we can't enforce leadership. We have to elicit it and win leadership, to win the horse's trust. And so we do that by also by encouraging their focus, their eye focus, and paying attention. And then we do companion walking, which is probably one of the sweeter aspects of it. And we lead the horse from behind rather than, you know, asking them to come forward with us. We drive them from behind like they are used to in the herd situation. And then there's the asking the horse to go away and come back so that there's a playful interaction. So, you know, developing those seven waterhole rituals with our horses has been just revolutionary in terms of bringing alive horses that were previously, you know, tuned out in or just used to being obedient. They suddenly find that there's something more for them to be offering. And it's a very key piece to what we do at Riding Beyond. Although I want to say that this is what we use to develop the horses. It's not generally a part of our activities. We do not expect people to go in at liberty with a horse unless they're experienced horse people. And so we also, another thing that's really important is the preparation and the follow-up with a team of volunteers. We found that, first of all, working with a horse like this who has been developed through Liberty Work takes a special kind of horse handler. And so we've learned a lot about what that means to develop those volunteers and to sustain them in this work, working with people of this who are on this journey with cancer. And so there's a four-part collaborative team that we see that we are all participating in together. The horse is part of that. There's the model for this is on the Facebook page again, that, you know, the horse is one part, the participant, the volunteers, and then there's the professional, the equine specialist or EFL professional, some professional. So that there are those four dynamics that need to be always kept active. It's often easy in these kinds of situations to for that pole of the horse to be ignored so that the horse finds itself not really being engaged so much because all the attention goes to the participant, what's going on in the human interaction. So a lot of what we do is oriented towards keeping that four-part collaborative team very engaged and active. And that's where the magic happens, as Jen is fond of saying. Jen, talk to us about that magic, would you?
Yeah, you know, it was fun because we developed a lot of this before we did a lot of this before we developed some of these black and white models. And when I saw your model, I was like, oh, that is so cool. That's what we do. But then I thought, oh, but the black and white model doesn't really speak to the magic part of what is created. And I think mostly that's about the synergy that happens between the horses and the humans. And Trish is really a master at being able to provide our small community space what we need to weave us together in a really effective and quick way. As a volunteer and having these interactions just around the table before we go in to visit the horse, instead of finding out a lot about each other's lives and some sort of kind of particulars or history, we talk about things that open our hearts and we remember places in our lives where we were really touched. And as you quickly go around the table and share something with someone, that sacred community and space is really built, and that kind of energy and trust and enthusiasm that's generated by that is the magic that we smile and look at one another with, and that as volunteers we bring to the round pen, and we regard that space as sacred, and we move forward with the participants and the horses in a way when we're really in a place where we can create something that's larger than ourselves. And those stories that we come with allow us to be transformed in some way. So feeling touched and seen and heard and really revitalized by something larger is a mutual benefit of being a volunteer mm-hmm. in this program. All of us are gaining that. So we always appreciate right. the magic that you bring, Trish. Thank you.
Well, I think the magic comes from that interaction, really. It's not from me so much as what happens between us and the horses. And
that's true.
So I want to point out that the we've developed a model for the areas of expertise that are needed to make a program like this successful in a larger sense. And there's a model for that on the Facebook page. It's down near the bottom of the Facebook page. It's the areas of expertise for program success. And so, we realize that there has to be a real attention to the emotional fitness of both the horses and the handlers of the horses. That's an important ongoing training piece that we incorporate. And then there has to be holistic activities that benefit both horses and the humans, activities that are designed to attend to all levels of the self and that benefit both horses and humans. Then the program design must benefit the particular issues of breast cancer survivors. And then what does it mean to garner broad-based community support? You can have a great program, but if you need to have obviously participants coming in and the broad-based community support, and I have a lot of wisdom to share about that or experience to share about how to do that. And then what does it mean for the volunteers and the staff, besides the horse handlers, but all of the volunteers to be caring for one another? Because, when you're up against these issues of really life and death with the survivors and thrivers, then that brings up our own personal issues. And we need we attend to that, attend to how to take care of ourselves. And then, of course, there is the glue piece is that there needs to be someone in a role of management to keep everything sort of flowing and moving on. So, Jen, say a little bit, if you would now, about what we're going to be offering here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, you've put together a great ingredient list, and I know that there's a lot more that we can go into in the next few weeks, a deep dive that starts a week mm-hmm. from today, actually. And what we're going to do is offer this kind of informational session on Thursdays, and also with this first-time offer, we're going to include Mondays as a question and answer, which will be a great way to get the juices flowing and kind of kickstart new ideas. That will be an awesome thing to be able to attend and learn from. Also, if everyone gets to attend these both Thursday and Monday classes, there's going to be 10 CEUs that will be awarded once you get done with all the sessions. And so we're going to offer a discount if you guys are ready to sign up between now and April 30th and the next 2 days. And that would be available. And maybe, Trish, you could tell people some of the more specifics about what they're going to receive and maybe an outline of the sessions.
Sure. So in the next 2 days, the course is $150 instead of $199. And for that, you'll get 6 hours of training in this effective equine facilitated learning program, which can easily be adapted to an EFP or equine facilitated psychotherapy program for cancer survivors. And it's once a week for 4 weeks, and you get a recording even if you can't attend. And then there's a question and answer teleconference once a week on Mondays, where you can bring up questions, things you're trying out, sharing with one another, hearing about what other people are doing, or to get personal assistance from me. And then additionally, you'll get the Writing Beyond Training Manual, which is a publication that I created last year, and I've revised it a few times since then. It's it'll come to you in a PDF form, and then you'll also get a PDF of the PowerPoint presentation that attends to kickstarting a good idea into a broad-based community-supported program. And then you'll get to participate in this ongoing closed community here, closed in some ways, but open in many other ways. It's called Writing Beyond Professional, for sharing with one another questions, ideas. And then all this, you get 10 CEUs for professional certifications if you attend both the Monday and Thursday sessions in May. So, again, this is for experienced equine professionals, but it is not closed to them. And the website page has some of the details about it. Like, for instance, session one, we're going to be really going into depth about how Liberty Work can develop this interactive co-facilitator. We'll be talking about what it means to have activities with horses as sentient beings, working with them as a partner versus a tool. And we'll look at the fundamentals of holistic approaches for the particular issues of women with cancer as cancer survivors. And we'll be looking at multiple brain integration techniques. That's all in session one. It's a lot. So we'll be delving into more in session two with more fundamentals of the holistic approaches, talking about four levels of the self and the collaborative team, what it means to have head, heart, and gut awareness and alignment activities with horses, and then the pros and cons of mounted versus unmounted sessions. And then session three, we'll be looking at activities for enabling women to step into their larger stories and discovering the sacred aspect of their wounding and restoring to them a sense of their positive destiny. And then special issues in training volunteers and handlers. And then in the final session, we'll be looking at the role of breast cancer survivors as a keystone species for our viable future. And then what does it look like to kickstart your program into broad-based community-supported programs? So,
gosh, that's a lot, Trish. I'm really excited that we're going to get to try to do all of that. One of the other things that I think is going to be really cool about these next four sessions coming up is that we're going to actually run some of those holistic activities that will give us a really experiential taste, and people will start to get a personalized understanding of the feel that gets created, because that's the magic that's really kind of hard to express. Also, you know, I think the idea of being able to have that Writing Professionals Facebook page is going to be an invaluable way of us interacting and gaining more awareness on anyone's next steps and how we can really bring this work into the future. So maybe we can figure out how we sign up.
Right. So you can sign up by going to patriciabroersma.com/free. I'm going to post it on the Facebook page so that you can just click there. And you can pay by credit card or PayPal, and then I'll send you a link by email as well, for those who are not available to Facebook. And so we want to just thank all of you for joining us. We're just a little bit over an hour. I hope you've been able to hang in there. And we would like you to just, if you would, please, to share one word that captures your experience of our time together, and to post that on the Facebook page so we can all at least have some little bit of sharing there. And if you have any questions, too, go ahead and post those. But just one word about your experience of this time together would be just wonderful to see posted there. And we hope to have many of you joining us next week. I know some of you have already signed up. And
yeah,
so
Carol's already signed up, and she says she's really looking forward to the sessions.
Great.
Last week
when
we did some of this work, some of the one-word shout-outs that we had were informative, inspirational, engaging, bridging.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to
it. Let's have a shout-out from everybody here. So,
that'd be great.
So we're going to sign off now, and thank you all for coming all the horses with us as well, so that we can all together ride beyond.
Thank you.